want to welcome everybody here to the master's class at Summit Church, and we are in the book of Revelation, and we are in chapter 18. We're going to be talking about Babylon here today. We're going to be talking some questions that divide many, many scholars here this morning, and just about as many opinions can be had on some of this that we're going to talk about as you have scholars, but we're going to try and dissect some of it and try to come up with some answers for you. We're going to be in chapter 18, verses 1 through 7. We're going to be talking about the cup of Babylon fills, and I'm talking about the wrath of God, and the sin of Babylon is going to become overflowing to the point where next week we'll be talking about the destruction of Babylon. Now, I don't know about you guys, but with the state of today's media, as much of it is fake news as well as real news and so forth, it's hard to tell the good news from the bad news. Do you all agree with that? Sometimes you read something and it's hard to tell, well, is that good news or is that bad news, right? Well, I heard a story of a woman who said to her friend, "Hey, I've gotten married." And her friend said, "Whoa, that's good." And the woman said, "But he's very mean to me." "Oh, well, that's bad." "But he is very rich." "Oh, well, that's good." "But he is very stingy. "Oh, well, that's bad." "But he did buy me a new house." "Oh, well, now that's very good." "Yeah. But it burned." "Oh, well, that's bad. But he was in it." So, you know, we look at the headlines today, and it's hard to tell the good news from the bad news. I read some headlines on today's world, and I say, "Oh, that's very bad. That's very bad." But friend, when you put the news stories in one hand and the Bible in the other hand, and you see that everything is fitting right into the sockets of prophecy, what seems to be bad news is really very good news. Amen? Amen. Our lessons over the next couple of weeks are going to be about some news that fit into this category. And it may seem very, very bad, but it is really good news. And it is about the destruction of Babylon. And while all of the death and the destruction that is going to come from this event may seem like it ought to be viewed as bad news, it is truly hallelujah-type news. It is hallelujah news because it means the cup of God's wrath regarding Babylon has become filled, and the Almighty God is going to deal with the evil of Babylon. Now that is worth an amen and a hallelujah combined. Amen? Amen and hallelujah, right? In fact, when it occurs, there's going to be a full hallelujah chorus up in heaven going on as they watch the judgment of Babylon. So the Bible has a lot to say about Babylon. If you didn't know this, Babylon is actually mentioned more times than any other city in the Bible except Jerusalem. So, and as we have discussed before, the city of Babylon was first created by a man named Nimrod. And Nimrod built the Tower of Babel, which later became the city of Babylon. But the city reached its zenith under King Nebuchadnezzar. And actually, it was King Nebuchadnezzar II, because his father was king there as well. But Daniel speaks of Nebuchadnezzar's pride in the city. The book of Daniel, chapter 4, verse 30 says, and this is when it talks about the king, it's talking about King Nebuchadnezzar. "The king spake and said, 'It's not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty.'" Now, if anybody knows the book of Daniel, knows the story, yeah, that wasn't such a great thing for him to be saying, okay? But yeah, you can just see the pride that Nebuchadnezzar had in the great city of Babylon. And without question, the Babylonian Empire was great. and the city of Babylon was truly a marvel to be seen. The city was built in the form of a square, and each side was about 14 miles long, and to walk around the outside of the city would have been a journey of about 56 miles. The outside walls were 335 feet tall and about 87 feet wide. You could drive 6 chariots side by side along the top of one of these outside walls. Now, just inside the outside wall, there was another similar wall that was put for added protection. So you had two of these huge outside walls standing 335 feet tall. Now, the Ishtar Gate, which is the famous one everybody knows about, and, was built using blue glazed bricks, and they had molded images of lions and bulls and dragons for decorations, and there's some Arabian names for some of the scimitars or something like that. I don't remember what the name of it is, but they're kind of a horsey-looking thing that's on the outside of it for decoration. But it was the spectacular Hanging Gardens that was considered one of the 7 ancient wonders of the world. Now, successive terraces, they rose one above the other until they reached the height of the outside walls. And each terrace was filled with soil and planted with every kind of tree and flower. And when finished, the Hanging Gardens looked like a huge mountain covered with vegetation. Now, in chapter 18 of the book of Revelation, we will learn that there is coming a time when the entire world is going to wonder at Babylon once again. Babylon is going to rise again, only to meet her doom at the hand of Almighty God. And here's where we start our lesson today, chapter 18, verses 1 through 2. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Now the Bible tells us that ancient Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar was the enemy of ancient Israel. King Nebuchadnezzar came against Jerusalem on several different occasions. He laid siege to it. He captured it. Ultimately, he destroys the city and the temple built by Solomon, and he committed great atrocities against the people, killing hundreds of thousands, and then he carried off the rest to captivity. And if you want to know what was going on in the Book of Lamentations, this is the source of all those lamentations that were going on in that book. So God used Nebuchadnezzar to judge Israel for the worship of false idols. And when you think about it, that's kind of interesting, because since it is Babylon that has been the birthplace of all false religions, now you hear I have God using the birthplace of all false religions to judge Israel for worshiping false idols and participating in false religions. So Babylon is great in iniquity, and it is great in antiquity and prophecy. So the first question before us is whether this Babylon that is talked about in chapter 18 is a literal city or is it symbolic? Now, in chapter 17, I said that Babylon was a code word for all of the world's false religions. Babylon was the cradle and the grave of all the world's apostate religions. And we also talked about the destruction of the ecclesiastical or religious Babylon symbolized by the harlot woman. Is the Babylon in chapter 18 a literal city, or is it symbolic like the harlot woman was? Okay. So now in chapter 18, Babylon is spoken of again, and that leaves us with the question, when the Bible uses the word Babylon in this chapter, is it speaking of a literal city? Now certainly there are differences of opinions on this question of whether Babylon in chapter 18 is symbolic, as it is in chapter 17, or it is a literal city. Now as I've studied the word, And I prayed about it, and I continued to learn, and I continue to form opinions, and I continue to pray about it, and I continue to get smarter as I get older. But I just barely scratched the surface of what is going on here. So I have come to believe that Babylon in chapter 18 is a literal city. Now there is certainly a contrast between the two Babylons from chapter 17 and chapter 18. In chapter 17, I believe we're talking in a more symbolic sense. The great whore is called Babylon, but it is called Mystery Babylon. In chapter 18, we find something called Babylon the Great. So, and you're going to recall from chapter 17 how the kings of the earth turned on the whore, the ecclesiastical Babylon, and destroyed and burned and devoured her. Now the kings do this at the behest of the Antichrist, and because the false prophet has somehow lost control of this religious system that is out there, and it begins to encroach upon the power of the Antichrist. It tries to dominate the Antichrist. Remember the image of the harlot woman sitting on top of the beast. Many people believe that is her dominating the Antichrist and so forth. And so the Antichrist, who demands total domination and doesn't want to bother with this religious system, orders the ten kings to destroy the ecclesiastical Babylon. So when these kings destroyed ecclesiastical Babylon, they rejoiced over her. But we're going to find that when the Babylon of chapter 18 is judged by God, the kings weep and lament over it. This leads me to believe that it would certainly appear that we have two different Babylons because of the way it's spoken of, because of the way it's destroyed, because of the way the kings weep over it versus being rejoiced when it is destroyed. So that leads me to believe that we have two different Babylons. In addition, verse 2, the angel cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, is fallen. Now, I didn't stutter, I said it twice, right? Notice the double falling, meaning two Babylons will fall. Now, again, this makes it appear that the Babylon in chapter 17 is different from the Babylon of 18. Now, both represent the cradle and grave of false religion. But they are different in that one is symbolic and the other is a literal city. At least that's what I have come to believe. Okay? So the next question then that splits many good preachers and scholars is, where will the rebuilt Babylon be? Oh my, I'm stepping into deep waters now, right? I am stepping into deep waters now. All right, so the Babylon of chapter 17 was described as being in Rome. Everybody remember that out of chapter 17? It was described as being on the seven mountains. And what's the city that's perched on seven mountains? It was the city of Rome, right? Well, does this mean that Babylon of chapter 18 will be in Rome? Or will it be rebuilt at the site of ancient Babylon on the banks of the Euphrates? Or will it be some other city altogether? Because certainly the Bible calls other cities by a name, like when we studied in, I think it was chapter 16, where Israel was called Egypt and Sodom, right? And so the Lord can use a name symbolically of other cities. But that's the question before us. Is it the city of Rome where the symbolic one was? Is it at the ancient site of Babylon? Or will it be some other city altogether that God chooses? Now, the Bible doesn't say for sure where this is going to be, but the question boils down to whether the Old Testament prophecies about Babylon have been completely fulfilled in the Old Testament times or partially fulfilled, and the complete fulfillment occurs here in chapter 18 of the book of Revelation. For example, the prophet Isaiah says that Babylon would be a place of perpetual desolations. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 9 says, Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. And he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Now Isaiah further proclaims that Babylon would be destroyed by the Medes. Verses 17 and 19 of chapter 13 of Isaiah says, "Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them, which shall not regard silver, and as for gold, they shall not delight in it. Their bows also shall dash the young men to pieces, and they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eyes shall not spare children. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah." Now, we know from history that it is certainly true that Cyrus and the Medo-Persian Empire conquered the Babylonian Empire and captured the city of Babylon. And it is true that the city of Babylon began a long decline at that point to the place that where Alexander the Great and the Greek Empire took over. Alexander the Great thought about trying to rebuild Babylon, but he decided not to because of how cost prohibitive it was. But the question is, did the Medes at this time in the Old Testament complete the prophecy by bringing onto Babylon the same type of total destruction that would make Babylon as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah? So what was it like in Sodom and Gomorrah after God destroyed them? There wasn't much left, was there? So I struggle with whether or not the Medes completed that part of the prophecy. Okay? And if this is true, then the timeline of the destruction of Babylon was actually much longer than that of Sodom and Gomorrah, because it was over in a very short period of time on Sodom and Gomorrah, but Babylon extended for, at least the ruins of Babylon extended for some time. So Jeremiah and Isaiah both proclaim that when Babylon is destroyed, no man will dwell there again, and that the Arabian would be afraid to pitch their tent there. Isaiah chapter 13, verses 20 and 21 said, "It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation, neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there, but wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there." And then Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 1 says, "For out of the north there cometh up a nation against her, which shall make her land desolate, and none shall dwell therein, and they shall remove, and they shall depart, both man and beast." And 40 and 41 of the same chapter says, "As God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and the neighbor cities thereof, saith the Lord, so shall no man abide there, neither shall any son of man dwell therein. Behold, a people shall come out of the north, and a great nation, and many kings shall be raised up from the coast of the earth." So, now it is, again, true that ancient Babylon today is desolate of people and has been for centuries. Saddam Hussein turned it into a tourist site, and archaeologists have been doing excavation work there. But to my knowledge, people do not live on the ancient site of Babylon today. Yet the question about these prophecies that many raise here is the fact that even as late as the first century A.D., Peter speaks of the church at Babylon. 1 Peter 5:13 says, "The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doeth Marcus, my son." So here, Peter is referring to to the city that he wrote the book of 1 Peter from. Now, if you listen to the Catholics, they try to infer that the Babylon that Peter is speaking of about here is Rome. And they use John's name of Babylon in Revelation 17, where he mentions the mystical Babylon, or Rome, in order to support this idea. Yet, as you look at Peter's writing, we studied the book of 1 Peter here not too long ago, we find that Peter writes very literally and practically. Now, he is certainly adept at using illustrations, but I believe that in this case, if Peter had meant Rome, he simply would have said Rome. He wouldn't have called it Babylon. And we do know that after the Babylonian captivity, only a very small group of Jews returned to their land. Actually, there were only about 60,000 of them that returned to their land. And at the time Peter wrote the book of 1 Peter, there was still a great colony of Jews in Babylon. And additionally, Jews had fled to Babylon when severe persecution under Claudius had begun. And we know, for example, that Priscilla and Aquila fled to Corinth from Rome, and there was another large contingent that went to Babylon. Since we know that the ministry of Peter was primarily to the Jews, it does seem logical that he ministered to the Jewish colonies in Asia Minor, and particularly that of Babylon, because it would have been such a great colony of Jews that were there. It would only make sense that he would do so. Again, I'm doing a lot of surmising here. I'm doing a lot of history here. The Bible doesn't say one thing or the other. So I'm just laying out the facts as I see them in the Bible, and I'm trying to come to my own conclusion about where this thing's going to be. So if this is indeed the ancient city of Babylon that still existed, it makes it difficult to believe that the prophecies have been completely fulfilled during the Old Testament times. If people are still living there in 1st century A.D. versus the 500 to 600 B.C. when the Medes took over Babylon, it makes it hard to believe that that was the destruction that completely fulfilled the prophecies. Now, it could have been. God has a different timeline, but I just struggle with that part of it, okay? So either the prophecies of ancient Babylon are completely fulfilled and a new Babylon will be someplace else, or they have not been fulfilled and it is likely the Babylon of chapter 18 will be rebuilt at the ancient site. Now, of course, as I said earlier, God can call any city Babylon and make his words come true at that location. So I can't really say for sure one way or the other. But the other side of this question is how something so big and so powerful could be rebuilt in such a short time from the dust that is there today, right? But then again, we know that the devil is capable of miracles, and so he can do all kinds of things, right? The bottom line of all of this is just another one of those things that when I was much younger teaching the book of Revelation, I was very quick to make a decision about what I thought it was and proclaim with great certainty that this is what the answer is. As I've gotten older, I've learned to mitigate that confidence quite a bit. And so I say that I think it is likely that it is going to be at the ancient site of Babylon. But that's just because of the facts that I've laid out for you. There are lots of, and I'm going to tell you, David Reed of Lamb and Lion Ministries is one that believes that it's not going to be at the ancient site of Babylon. So, but there are lots of other good commentators, John Phillips, and Adrian, and many others who believe that it will be at the ancient site of Babylon. So I'm in good company. I got lots of people who don't agree with me. I got lots of people who do agree with me, but you know, that's just the way it is. I tell you what, we're going to find out where it's going to be one of these days. We're going to sit down and watch, and you know, I'm going to get to say, well, I was wrong, or I was right, or, you know, whatever. But anyway, so whether this Babylon is located at the ancient site on the Euphrates or at another site, the Bible is clear that it will be the major political, economic, and religious center of the Antichrist world empire. Now, with the ecclesiastical Babylon destroyed, this literal Babylon takes on the role of the religious headquarters and political headquarters of the Antichrist. So now over the next couple of weeks, we're going to find out at least four things about this Babylon to come. And the first is that Babylon is dominated by demons. I'm going to read verse 2 again. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. Is fallen and has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Now, I'm going to stop here because I meant to stop when I got through speaking and I took a deep breath. I was supposed to take a deep breath at the end of that whole dissertation and give you guys a chance to comment. What do you guys think? Is it going to be ancient Babylon or is it going to be at some other site? I think he thinks it's Rome. Well, like I said, Satan can do miracles. So that's the difference between the mystery of Babylon, which is in chapter 17, and 18 is the great Babylon. The question is, what is that? That's the question. Probably not. Probably not. I've looked ahead, and it doesn't tell me where that is. Yes, ma'am. That is if Isaiah is correct in that it was completely fulfilled at the time when the Medes did. But if it's not completely fulfilled, if it's only partially fulfilled, then all of this that's going to happen in chapter 18 is the fulfillment of that, and there will be no more generations after the destruction in chapter 18. So that's the partial versus the complete fulfillment of the prophecy. But I really struggle that if the prophecies haven't been fulfilled, and it looks like they haven't been fulfilled, that this here in chapter 18 looks like it would be the appropriate fulfillment of everything that we read about in Isaiah and Jeremiah. I mean, the total destruction of it is getting ready to happen here next week. I mean, we're going. The whole book of Daniel is about delayed prophecies and so forth. So it makes sense to me that a partial fulfillment of the prophecies was performed in the Old Testament, and then now we're getting ready to study the complete fulfillment of it. But, like I said, there's lots of good people who disagree. Okay. So, all right. So, verse 2, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and a hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. So John says that Babylon has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit. Now, I'm just going to give you a little side note for your study. Every time you read the word devils in the Bible, if it is plural, it means demons. There's only one devil. And so if it's plural, then it's talking about demons. And a lot of the newer translations, other than the King James Version, actually put the word demons in there instead of the word devil. But don't get confused. There's not multiple devils out there. There's only one devil. And if you say it plural in the King James Version, it means demons. Okay? So Babylon is to be the home of many demons. Now, John also says that Babylon is a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Now, this just means that these demons are the devil's dirty birds that defile the landscape, okay? So this just means, this tells us that the whole city will be dominated by demonism. Demon worship will once again have this city as its home, just as it did in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. So I will say that it certainly seems that ancient Babylon is going to rise from the dust. It will be the seat and the throne of the Antichrist during the tribulation. So you ask the question, well, why in the world would he go back to ancient Babylon with all of these other major cities that are out there? There will be, as we talked about in the earlier chapters, a war between the nations of the East and the nations of the West, and the West is going to win, and that's going to secure the power of the Antichrist over the entire world. And there will be a vacuum then in the Middle East, and he will move in to fill it. So to understand the tribulation period, you have to understand that during the tribulation time, the world is going to be infested and led by demons. Now, you will recall that the abyss was opened up and thousands and uncountable millions of demons came out of that abyss and they tormented all of the Antichrist followers for a period of time. What happened to those demons? Where did they go? God didn't put them back in the abyss. They're still all roaming out there on the earth and causing demon worship and problems and spreading demonic worship out there. Then we go to verse 3 in chapter 18. It says, "For all nations have drunk the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." So certainly the history of mankind is full of examples of nations that have drunk the wine of the wrath of Babylon's fornication, meaning they have embraced false religion. And this wine was bottled centuries and millenniums ago, and it is still being drunk today. False religions are prospering all over the world. We talked about astrology a couple of weeks ago. But it is spreading all over the world. False religions of all kinds, apostate religions of all kinds, are spreading all over the world. And let me give you a clue as to being what's a godly religion and one that's not. It is either of God or it's not. There's no in-between. It's either in the Bible or it's not in the Bible. And if it's not in the Bible, it's an apostate religion. Even if some of the truth and the best lies have some of the truth, right? Have some grain of truth, and then they're modified by man to have their truth, that makes it an apostate religion. If you don't tell all of the truth and you only tell half of the truth, then the half of the truth that is true is a lie. Okay? It is an apostate religion. So John tells us that it is still being drunk today, the wine of the fornication of the city of Babylon. And John tells us of the wealth of Babylon when he says, "The merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." So the rulers of the earth are going to be drawn to this Babylon by the prospect of getting rich through trade. You know, the Antichrist is going to control all of the trade by the use of his mark. And when you use his mark, that just guarantees that he gets a cut of all of the trade that is taking place. So great wealth is going to flow through the gates of this city. Corporations are going to move their headquarters to Babylon, and it will make the Antichrist look almost invincible. Verse 4 says, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues." So these words, "Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues," will be an important warning to the few remaining groups of people, of God's people, during the tribulation period. God is getting ready to judge this great city for its sin over the length of man's existence. God does not want his people to be in this city. He does not want them to be harmed in the judgment to come, so he tells them to come on out. Leave the false religions behind, the demon worshiping behind. Don't even dabble in false worship. Just as God led Lot out of Sodom, God is telling the believers to get out and leave Babylon behind them. Now, this holds the same warning for us today. For a believer in today's world to play with false religion is to court the judgment of God. God says, "Come out of her, my people, that ye may not be partakers of her sins." Don't dabble in false religions, and therefore you won't become a participant of her plagues. And you ignore this warning at your own peril. Verse 5 says, "For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities." So Babylon is great in iniquity, and John tells us that God is going to judge her because her sins have reached up into heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. So stone by stone, brick by brick, century after century, millennium after millennium, Babylon has been building a system of iniquity in this world. God has not forgotten this at all. He has not forgotten the sins of Babylon. There comes a time when the sins of a nation or a city reach up to heaven and cry aloud for God to act. And that sword of vengeance, it slumbers a long time sometimes. And heaven seems silent and indifferent to earth's corruptions and blasphemies and crimes. And God himself seems to be deaf and blind. But then suddenly he acts and righteous judgment comes. Verse 6 says, reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works, and the cup which she had filled to her double. So there is a great deal of history in these words. As I said earlier, in the Old Testament times, Babylon came upon Jerusalem and trampled it down, destroying its temple and desolating the city, tearing down its walls. And the Babylonians visited upon Jerusalem all of the horrors of wars, its worst cruelties, its violent lust, and its horrible excesses. The Jews cried out at that time to God for judgment. And Jewish law demanded an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and it was a just and righteous law. The Jews, picking up their broken, lifeless forms of their babies, held up their shattered shapes towards heaven and cried out, Lord, pay her back in kind. Verses 8 and 9 of chapter 137 of the book of Psalms says, O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed, happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stones. But now, with this new Babylon, the Arab sins of Nimrod's Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar's Babylon, it's not just justice that is decreed, but vengeance. John says, and double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she had filled, filled to her double. Meaning God is going to wreak double the punishment on this Babylon. So what does all of this mean to us? As we get closer to the second coming of Jesus Christ and the rapture of the church and the rule of the beast, we can expect to see a tidal wave of sin and debauchery and demonism. And I want to tell you, beyond the shadow of a doubt, it is already in this world today. We are talking about a Babylon to come, but certainly the Babylonian system of false religion is in the world today. And what used to slink down the darkness of the back alleys is strutting down Main Street today, right? So Babylon next is defiant in her depravity. Verse 7 says, how much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Boy, isn't that defiance. The Babylon that is to come will strut with defiance through the earth. The devil himself is going to stick out his chest, and through his servant, the Antichrist, he's going to look over his beautiful kingdom there in Babylon, and all of Babylon will enjoy the good life and even the opulent standard of living that is ours today, which is the envy of the world, will be surpassed 1,000 times over by that of Babylon. She will say, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. So this queen of cities is going to mock the thought of judgment, or more likely will not even entertain the thought that something like that could happen. So next week, we're going to cover the destruction of Babylon. Amen. Amen.